Thursday, June 18th, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today we're going to be talking about something that we've spoken about indirectly on other occasions, but today we're really going to go there, girlfriend, and we're going to talk about a little something-something called why social needs to be part of your overall sales mix. I'm going to say that again, just in case this fast-talking New York dude just went way too fast there. We're going to be talking about why social needs to be part of your overall sales mix. Now, one thing you need to know about today's episode, it's brought to you by our brand, spanking new online sales program, and it's called Paul Castain, because I'm a creative genius, right? And I'm Paul Castain. Paul Castain's Social Selling Camp. Now, later on in the podcast, I'm going to tell you all about it, but I think for now, we need to get down to business. So again, the topic is why this whole social thing, whether you want to call it social networking, social selling, even some people still calling it by the whole sales 2.0 thing. But I want to give you some reasons why I believe, and from my experience, why it's really, really important, because I know many of you out there are still skeptical. Maybe you're waiting to see if it's a trend. Maybe you disbelieve that it could help you. It could be a variety of reasons. Doesn't matter. I just want to tell you why I think it's something that you can consider as part of the overall sales mix. Now, notice the title of this, right? Part of the overall sales mix. And notice how I keep repeating the hell out of it. Why would I do that? Well, not to kill time on a podcast, right? You guys know I can get a little long-winded here. I'm doing it because I think many of you avoid it simply because you think there's a lot of these quote-unquote experts out there telling you to ditch what you're doing right now and just go social. In my not-so-humble opinion, I think that's a mistake. I think there's plenty of room for kind of a mixed martial art approach to sales. That's what I teach my coaching clients, and today I want to go there with you. So remember, this is not to replace, it's to complement the awesome things that you're already doing. So out by me, there are these two lawyers, and their names, and those of you in the New York area, you're going to know, you probably even know who I'm talking about right away, by the names of Salino and Barnes. Now, these two, for the last several years, have been like all over, like billboards. We see them all over, like taking out television. You know, they're doing television commercials, radio, they're in print. I don't know much about the cost of ads, unless you talk about a little Facebook ad or something like that, something I do at my business. But these guys, it's safe to say they have spent millions and millions of dollars in advertising. Nothing wrong with that if you have deep pockets, but most of you listening to this don't. And I'm also here to tell you, even if you do have deep pockets and you have millions and millions of dollars to spend, I can tell you that you can get similar exposure. Not exact exposure, but you could get similar exposure without having to drop that kind of cash. Now, what you need to do that a lot of people don't want to do, you need to invest something different than cash. You need to have a lot of sweat equity. You got to be willing to get your uniform dirty. You need to be willing to put in the work. But I can also tell you that in many ways, you can establish something a lot more meaningful with people going through social channels than they are just broadcasting it out there. Because, see, when you're just broadcasting out there, you really don't have the opportunity to interact with your audience, right? You're just kind of speaking at them and delivering a message. I'm also here to tell you that one of the shifts I've noticed in the last few years is that people are becoming more skeptical of polished, highly produced messages. They think that, okay, it's really rehearsed and it's very, very corporate. In many cases, too, I think these messages come across very clinical and not overly real. So I think you're missing an opportunity there, but here's my point. They've spent all this money to get exposure that you can easily get on your own. And if you think I'm kidding, those of you who follow me, I hope you notice, right? I mean, you know, it's not going to hurt my feelings if you don't, that I've built somewhat of a brand. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have billboards. I haven't taken out radio ads. I'm really not in print. The only thing that I've done, and I've only done it in like the last 18 months, I would say, with my business, is that I do take out a few Facebook ads. I'm not even on Google AdWords or any of those other things. Everything I'm doing is doing things like this, showing up, delivering a message, being hopefully extremely helpful to my audience on multiple platforms, and that's how I'm doing it. So you have that same opportunity. And you know, right about now, I have a lot of people just get really, really scared, and they say, oh yeah, but geez, Paul, you know, look at how much you're doing, and that's why you're getting the results. I just don't have the time. I mean, you know, we understand you doing it. This is your business, so you know, you've got to do all that time. Well, first of all, please understand, number one, that I didn't just wake up and start doing all these things. It started by getting on LinkedIn. Then it went to a blog. Then it went to starting a LinkedIn group. And then I could go on and on and on. The podcast came into the fold about 2 years into the journey. So little by little, little things have been added. I mean, just most recently, in the last 2 months, I made the leap into Instagram. Some of you might be laughing and saying, geez, what is that, like 2-3 years too late, dude, or whatever? It's just how I work. So, I mean, if a guy like me, who usually errs on the side of getting in maybe a little late, can do it, so could you. But the other thing, too, is that you certainly don't have to go at it the way I'm doing it. I'm intentionally doing it this way. I see results, and when I get results, I want more of them because, I don't know, I enjoy, like, selling stuff. Call me crazy. I'm a salesperson who likes selling stuff. I mean, guilty. And so you don't have to go at the level that I'm going. There are other things that you can do, and certainly for many of you, just getting involved would be a major leap for you, and just like actually interacting with your networks and using these types of social things that are out there to build a business. So reason number one, again, is that you can get incredible exposure. I mean, for the first time in history, we have really, like, it's leveled the playing field. You don't need deep pockets now to go out there and build a name for yourself. And for those of you who think you don't have to build a name for yourself, I would offer just two quick rebuttals to you. The first one is, you really don't know what the future has in store for you. When I first started with this social thing, I was just doing it to build a brand, and because I realized the world was changing. I had a left hook thrown at me in one of my classrooms, and found myself, you know, avoiding taking action on something simply because I was scared. And I was scared because I felt that nobody knew me outside of the company that I was working for. And it was true. When I Googled Paul Castain, two results came back. And to me, it was rather depressing because at that point, I was in sales 20-something years or something like that. I'm saying, so all I have to show for this, if somebody were to Google me, the only trail I have to who I am and for people to learn about me would be two results. And that, to me, was unacceptable. And it should be unacceptable to you. And the other reason is that people buy you first. The company's great, and all the wonderful things your company does, but if we're doing our job right, they are buying us first. They are placing their trust in us. And one of the ways that you can do that and build an online footprint and also establish some very important things with rapport, so on and so forth, learn about your prospect, is through some marrying the online with the offline. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, this is like a really big word that I use quite a bit, and I always make the joke, but it's no joke. I had to look it up with my limited dumbass vocabulary that I have. And reason number two is you can establish propinquity with your potential clients. So let's get into the definition of propinquity. Propinquity is, it means nearness, it means closeness, it means kinship. So let me say that again, nearness, closeness, and kinship. And I take it a step further. Again, Merriam-Webster doesn't include this, but whatever. This is the Castain additional definition. I believe it's the literal bumping into people that we're able to establish online and offline. So just allow me to explain this crazy theory of mine. Let's get away from like from social selling and online stuff for a minute. Let's just bring it to real world. So let's just say that you and I live, we're neighbors, but we're like, you know, like that kind of neighbor that you have, that like wave at the fence type of neighbor. We've kept it light. We don't really know each other. We've never really gone much beyond a hello and how you doing, nice weather, that kind of thing. And let's just say that we bump into each other at the supermarket. Well, you know, because we're not rude, I hope we're not, even in New York, we're not that rude, we would maybe come over to each other, oh, hey, how you doing, or whatever, just like keep it light or whatever. Who knows, there might be some basic chit-chat, but, you know, we bump into each other. So now, I don't know how much longer, it could be a week later, it could be a month later, it could be 6 months later, we run into each other now, maybe at a local restaurant, and there you are with your significant other, there I am with my significant other, and, you know, maybe we're introducing each other, maybe because we've never formally, you know, met, or our spouses haven't met or whatever, but we're talking a little bit more, and who knows, maybe a little more chit-chat, like, oh man, the steak is awesome here, or whatever it is, or by the way, they have just an amazing craft beer here. Have you ever tried it? So now we're chit-chatting a little bit more. Maybe another time we run into each other at the movies or a local bar or whatever it is. With each time that we bump into each other, if that is a quality interaction, we are establishing a sense of propinquity. And I believe the same thing can happen online. And if you think I'm kidding, I'd like for you to look at your relationship with me. Many of you say that I've been riding shotgun with you for years on this podcast. Does that create a sense of propinquity? See, I can't even say my own damn word here, right? And it's too early for me to be drinking, and maybe that's the problem. But anyway, I mean, you know, there is a sense of propinquity. See, I nailed it. Established between us. But see, it doesn't just stop there. Many of you, I hope, are becoming comfortable with me through this podcast, through my blogging. But for those of you who don't do that stuff, let's take it away from that. How about LinkedIn? We bump into each other. Maybe you bump into me in my group, and where I'm demonstrating my thought leadership, and you're watching me from afar. I don't know you, but you sure know me. Maybe we're establishing propinquity on Twitter. Some of you I'm even connected with on Facebook. Maybe you're enjoying some of the photos and visual things I'm sharing on Instagram. Perhaps it's on YouTube. And some of you have even seen me speaking at conferences and sales conventions and things like that. And really what it comes down to is it's all good, folks. We establish a comfort level. So if you kind of reject this notion, then what I'd like you to do, if you've been following me for a while, ask yourself, is Paul someone that I'm becoming comfortable with? And many of you are going to give me an all caps yes, and I hope you would, because you've become my customers. So I wouldn't be doing this just because I have a wealthy benefactor and I have nothing to do all day but collect their money and just go broke because you guys aren't giving me money. So if you keep seeing me show up, I am telling you, sorry to disappoint anybody. You know, I'd like to think I'm a good person, but it means it's also profitable. And I've been doing this podcast for 5 years. I've been on LinkedIn for about 7, been blogging for almost 7. And to me, I see an incredible return on that investment. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. We're still on item number 2, or reason number 2. You know, this whole thing about establishing propinquity, this is exactly why I debate this whole cold calling debate. And for some, it's like, is the cold call dead? And by the way, I just give a major eye roll with that. I'm just so sick of that dumb discussion, because it's a dumb discussion. And also, in other cases, it's, well, the cold call versus social selling, or the cold call versus LinkedIn. And if you've been following me for a while, you know my position is this. Why? My answer is why. Or my answer is yes. What do you mean yes? You got to pick one or the other. No, I don't. Who are you to tell me that I got to pick one versus the other? You see, I want every opportunity I can to bump into you and establish propinquity. I want it online. And you know what? Because you're comfortable with me online, I want to bump into you offline when I pick up the phone and when I send you an email and when I run into you at networking events. And this, for me, this sense of propinquity has meant more leads, It also has meant higher conversion because we could have leads all day long. But you know what it is. I mean, sometimes you're given leads like, oh, what are you kidding me? Because they have a pulse, it's a lead. I mean, yeah, this person, like, it's like flatlined here. I mean, I don't understand how I'm going to sell to them. So how can we call it a lead? But I'm talking about like true leads with higher conversions. I can also tell you that because of this sense of propinquity with my target audience, there are less people saying, Paul, who? When I go in with my ground troops are when I pick up the phone and I call you. So notice what I'm saying here. I'm not saying ditch all the traditional stuff. I'm this like guy that's saying to you, keep it all. It's all good. So I have less people saying, Paul, who? But I can also tell you, and this one you might want to circle and put a little note over here, dude. I have less than 5% of my opportunities. Less. I mean, it's probably closer to 2%, but I'm not much of a mathematician. I'm sorry. I always hated math. Couldn't stand it. And I have less than about 5% of my audience asking me to lower my price. They can ask all day long, as you guys know. I don't negotiate. That's my policy. I give everybody the same opportunity to pay less and as if they buy in volume. I never reward a better price because somebody's a better negotiator. And my clients love me for that. They know that they're getting the best possible prices. But that is a topic and has been the topic of other things that I've done, other podcasts and stuff. So brings us to reason number three. I think this one might be something that you're missing. And please understand the tone that I'm saying this in. I don't want to come across as some pompous know-it-all. When I teach you guys things, it's not because I'm so smart. I really wish I was the guy that always, like, got it, like when I was supposed to get it. No, I'm the guy who was stubborn and did things his own way and learned things the hard way. So these lessons come to you, not for being brilliant, but for being a dope and a dummy in many cases. So understand who your teacher is today, somebody who's been there just like you and who's still in the trenches just like you. I need you to understand that the world is changing. You've heard that before, but I want you to really stop running long enough to really digest that thought. The world is changing, and it's changing rapidly. Smartphones now are taking our attention to other places, to the tune of about 150 times a day. That's about the average right now, times that a person looks at their smartphone. And most people, when I do a keynote speech and I bring up that number, most people are right in there in that range, and there are many people like me who kind of hang their head and say, yeah, I mean, 150 times, I would be celebrating if it was only 150 times. I mean, I'm bad. I really am. I mean, I was out in my backyard the other night having a cigar. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry. I just have to say this because I am like a little kid right now. We got a puppy the other day, and I'm so happy because My last dog had her for years and years and years. Truly man's best friend and woman's best friend. And she had passed away 2 years ago. And I didn't realize, like, you know, like what a void that leaves. So the other day, got a puppy. I'm sitting out there, puppy at my feet, having a cigar, giving the puppy lots of secondhand smoke. She's got to get used to Uncle Paul's cigar smoking, right? And it was cool. This puppy seemed to approve of my cigar choice. And I like that. She has impeccable taste, just like her Uncle Paul. But anyway, so I'm sitting out there, and it's a beautiful day. I got a puppy at the feet, got the kids in the yard, and we're all hanging out, having an adult beverage, because that's how I roll. And there I am, dicking around on the smartphone. Why? Like, I'm thinking because maybe the world would end if I didn't. It probably would. It'll probably happen that way. I think that's how it's going to go down. Or maybe the rapture or something, while I'm busy dicking around on the smartphone. So anyway, I mean, it's really, really bad. But here's the point. We have all these people now, smartphone glued to their hand, checking it 150 times a day. And many of them, the way that they are dicking around with the smartphone, which is kind of like me the other day, they're tweeting, they're posting things on Facebook and LinkedIn. Now here's where we get into a timeout. I know what you're thinking. Many of you right now, the minute I said Twitter, you're saying, yeah, that's because they're posting stupid pictures about what they ate for lunch and talking about dinner and pissing and moaning and giving me play-by-play. So I just have a few rebuttals to that. The first one is, you know, like, especially like posting pictures of food. I mean, you know, I had one guy, president of a company, post pictures of his tequila collection. Other people post pictures of guitars and stuff. So let me just throw something at you. Many of us, when we think of establishing rapport, right away we think of, I look around the person's office, man, and if I see they're into fishing, I talk about fishing. I see pictures of kids, I talk about kids. And, you know, if I see plaques and awards and stuff like that. So why in the hell is that okay then? But God forbid somebody goes and posts something that's near and dear to them on an online platform. Now that's taboo. Taboo, not taboo. I'm making up words today. Like, what is going on? This, by the way, this is exactly what you guys could expect when you're about to turn 50. I turn 50 at the end of the month, and you like your tongue starts malfunctioning. Like, what the hell? But anyway, and this is why I am an accomplished public speaker. So I even forgot what the hell I was talking about right there. But anyway, I'm sure it was important. But my whole point is this, is that, I mean, seriously, I mean, why are we all of a sudden, it's play-by-play, and I don't want to know. See, me, the way I look at things is that people aren't shaking a magic eight ball of stupid things to post. If they're posting it, it means something to them. And you've heard me say this before. It will not be the last time you hear this. Sorry, I'm not going to abandon this anytime soon. Everyone has a story and wants to be heard. You can be the person who chooses to be ignorant about it and dismiss it as something that doesn't entertain you. Like, they're there to entertain you. Like, this is Netflix, and they're not fulfilling their end of the deal. Or you could be the person who validates them and comments and asks more questions and shows a genuine interest in them. And I believe that if you're that person who cares and understands that everybody has a story, wants to be heard, wants to be validated, I believe that a lot more people are going to have interest in you. And certainly to the point that you could establish propinquity, which I believe precedes the whole no, like, and trust thing. We get to the no, like, and trust thing, I really think you have a higher probability of closing a deal. And by the way, it may not be a deal with that person per se, but it might be with someone in their network. You may be referred, as I am often referred by people who have never done business with me, but I've established that propinquity. So I want you to think about that. But anyway, here's the deal. I could go on and on about this, but I want to point something out that I hope really resonates with you. Many of you are leaving money on the table simply because you're not embracing social selling. Many of you aren't embracing social selling because you don't know how to. And many of you don't know how to because it represents change. And it represents taking you out of your comfort zone. So guess what you do? You avoid dealing with the subject. Isn't that how we usually deal with things that scare us and that just take us out of the comfort zone? We procrastinate in a way. And procrastination, you've heard me talk about this over and over and over again. It many times at the root of it and the core of it is a fear, a disbelief that we could ever do it, a fear for trying it and failing it. So you need to recognize that and start dealing with it. Now, here's where the little infomercial comes up. I told you that today it's sponsored by our social selling, our online social selling camp this summer, which is going to kick off on July 15th. It's actually here to help you to create a powerful lead generation system. That, to me, is really the number one reason why you want to do this, why you want to embrace social. You want to be able to create relationships and generate leads. Now, you can also marry this lead generation system that I'm going to teach you in with and not replace the things that you're doing right now. So if you'd like to learn a little bit more about this, and if I could make a suggestion, right now you might be going into your let me think of something else mode because you don't want to deal with it. Just remember, 7 years ago, I wasn't dealing with it. I made a decision to do it. It has made a very big difference in my life, and I could tell you the people I serve now, my coaching clients, the people who hire me to come in and train their sales forces, it's making a big difference to them. So if you'd like to learn more about it, would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com yoursalesplaybook.com/social-selling. Let me say it again. yoursalesplaybook.com/social-selling. And yes, I discount for two or more. And depending on how many people you put in the course, I also throw in some really cool extras and freebies for people who put in, several people into the course. If you'd like to learn more about the pricing and extras, I want you to just give me a ballpark number that you're considering and email it to paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. One more time, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. One last thing. Whether you jump in and get more active with social, or maybe you decide to attend my course, maybe you decide to do both. That would be ideal, by the way. The time has really come, folks. Seriously. We've avoided this long enough. You've been avoiding it long enough. The time has come where you really need to stop avoiding this and actually do something about it. I'm here to tell you that you're going to feel so much better knowing that you're dealing with something that you've been sweeping under the carpet. So with that, little note, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlayBook.com. Wish you a good day.